You are dismissed.
No, you're not.
Thank you, Dana, for breaking the ice for us. I was thinking this morning how it is for us ministers. We get up, and it seems every time we get up, there's some shaky knees. Here a while back, I heard a pastor that pastors a very large church. And he said, every time I get up in front of my congregation, he said, I'm scared, I shake. That made me feel good. We don't have that large a congregation here. But every time I get up here, there's something within me that just kind of shakes. So we need your prayers. I don't want to share something that is against Scripture. Sometimes the things that we have to share hurt our toes just a bit, including myself. And if somebody sleeps this morning and snores, that's on you. I'm not going to come wake you up. This morning I've titled my message, Comparison Steals the Race. You see the rabbit there, the hare and the turtle. And we don't normally look at that story as comparison, really. But as I looked at that story, yeah, I read part of it, or most of it, maybe even all of it. I can't remember for sure what I did. But anyhow, as I looked at that story, I thought, you know what, that hare did some comparison right at the beginning. What did it do for him? He quit trying. Where did he place his confidence? In himself. I'm so glad we don't do that. We're going back again to where I was at in Hebrews 12. I'm going to read these verses real quick, 12, 1 and 2. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author, he's the one that begins and he finishes our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. I want to think for just a second here about the joy that he could see on the other side of the cross. As I was thinking about this, how could he see joy because he's going to go through pain and shame? But he saw joy on the other side because he was going to be able to take us with him into eternity and present us to the Father. That's why he saw joy. He was living in obedience to his Father. So I had to think about myself. What about myself? What about living this life today? Can I see joy at the end? Is it worth it? Is it worth the fight, the struggle? Can I see the joy that comes on the other end? Or am I going to live with my happiness here for right now and spend the rest of my eternity not in joy? Something I was thinking about as I was looking at that. Again, we're looking at the weight and the sin, something we had talked about earlier. One of the things that somebody gave me was one of the weights they said is comparison. And I'm going to throw this out this morning as maybe it's not a weight. I really believe it's a sin. So let's view it as a sin this morning. There's some good comparisons. When I go to buy a vehicle, I like to compare. You do too. Because we want to know what runs good and what doesn't. There are good comparisons. But this morning we're going to focus on the negative comparisons. Comparison steals the race. There's a story in Luke 18. We're not going to go to this. But a story of the Pharisee and the publican. I'm still getting used to this mic. The story of the Pharisee and the publican. Most of us know this story. The Pharisee gets out and he begins to pray. And his goal is, I am at a high level. I'm going to make myself look good. And in doing so, I'm going to put the publican way down here. The publican prays. And in humility, he comes and says, I'm nothing. I'm totally nothing. And in that way, he made God's name great because of how he came. There are comparisons that are good, some that are negative. We compare ourselves to look better or at least as good as our neighbor. I'm hearing breathing in here. I'm not sure what I'm doing wrong. So I'll try not to breathe too loud. And this is not working. You might have to go to the next slide. We'll continue as he figures that out. But we compare ourselves to look better or at least as good as our neighbor. So let's imagine that we have somebody that's running. I did not go to track when I was in school because we didn't have track. But some of the schools today have track. They've each got their own lane. And the runners are in that lane and they're running for everything they've got down that lane. There's nobody else in the lane with them. They're on their own. But they're running. Now let's imagine as they're running, there's one of the guys that's in the lead. And he's given it everything he's got. And as he runs, all of a sudden he's close to the end. He gets the idea, what if? What if the other runners are really close to me? What's he going to do? He's probably going to turn around and look back. And what can happen when he turns around and looks back? We've probably heard the stories already. Either he trips and falls, or as he looked back, he lost his momentum. And the runner next to him bypassed him and won the race. Where am I at in my race this morning? Am I comparing myself with my brothers and sisters? And we're talking about Calvary Chapel here. We're not talking about out there, but we're talking about comparing ourselves amongst each other here this morning. So what's the result when we begin comparing ourselves? Let's see, we're going, okay, it's there. The result is ungratefulness. And as we think about the ungratefulness, as I think about comparing myself, and I look at my brother and my sister, and I see maybe they're doing better than what I am. Maybe they're doing less than what I am. But as I continue to look at them, I become ungrateful. And as we really think about that, we're coming back to God and telling Him, God, you didn't make me quite like my brother and my sister. And it's almost like a slap in the face to God when we become ungrateful because we've compared ourselves to another. Turn in your Bibles to John chapter 21. Here Jesus had just come to the disciples. He had risen. He came back. They were fishing. And he was on the shore. And as they came close, they had fished all night. They caught nothing. He said, throw your nets on the other side, on the right side of the boat. He says, you will get fish. And they did. And as they came up close, Simon came up to him. Simon had dissed Jesus before. And now Jesus is coming back to Simon three times. He says, Simon, do you love me? And Simon answered, yes. Or we say Peter, I guess. Peter said, yes, I love you three times. He got a little frustrated. And then in verse 18, Jesus says to Peter, he says, verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. Peter, when you were younger, now, you can go wherever you want to. You can do as you please. But when thou shalt... Excuse me, when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, follow me. So he was telling Peter here, Peter, as you get older, you're going to die a horrible death. You're going to die a death where your arms are stretched out, and you won't have a choice. Can you imagine somebody coming to you and telling you, you know what, you're going to die a horrible death. You're still young. But we know in the future you're going to die a horrible death. What would my response be? Peter's response was this. He turned around and it seems like there was something between Peter and John as we read through this. And by the way, as you read through the book of John, it's interesting, almost hilarious to watch John write. He writes in third person. And the things that he says about himself, really, John? Sometime read through John and think about it in that sense. Peter looks over at John and he asks Jesus, okay, well then, What about John over here? What about him? He's comparing himself. I think Peter's response that he wanted to hear, or Jesus' response that Peter wanted to hear was, oh, John's going to die a horrible death too. Don't worry, Peter. But that's not what came out. Jesus told him, Peter, I'm talking to you. Don't worry about John. I'm talking to you. Follow me. Peter was comparing himself. If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. And because of this, they thought that John was going to live until Jesus returns. And Jesus said, no, that's not what I was saying. Comparison makes you feel superior or inferior. Both of these are a dishonor to God. Try the next one there, Menno. We're stuck again on this one. Thank you. Maybe we've come to the place where we have compared enough to where we feel like we're not good enough. Maybe it's from something from our childhood that has carried on into today. We just aren't quite enough. But I want you to know this morning that God has made you. He's made you for a purpose. He's made you for a calling, every one of us here this morning. He has created us. He's gifted us with special gifts. And when we begin to compare ourselves, we overlook the gifts that He gave us. These gifts are for the building of the church. They're to make us strong, to help each other. But when I compare myself with my brother or my sister, I overlook that gift and something is left out. Something's missing. Comparison tears down instead of building up. It doesn't build the church. What about this runner that was running? He compared himself with the one that was running next to him. Sometimes when we compare ourselves, we check on our progress. Maybe there's some self-approval that we want. And we step in and we begin to play the role of God. Something we need to be very, very careful of. And as we compare, we find that there's an emptiness that happens within us. We feel unfulfilled, and we wonder what's going on. And it's time for us to check what is happening. Romans 12, 3-4, 3-5 says, "For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think." That happens many times when we begin to compare. I'm just a step higher. I'm just a bit better. And it becomes a sin to us. But to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith, for as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. We all have a purpose. Every one of us here today has a purpose. You may come to church thinking, I'm just a bench sitter. I'm just here to fill my spot. You have a purpose. You have a calling. Comparison is rooted in envy and strife, and there's pride also. I'd love for everybody to say that, yeah, Lynn doesn't have any envy and strife, but if you would say that, I would have to say you lied. Something God's been really working in my heart on. Takes humility to admit that we have any of these in our lives, and I think all of us would be willing to admit that there's envy, there's strife, there's struggles that happen within us. We're still in this human body. In James 3, 13 through 16, "Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of good conversation a good life, good morals, good attitudes, good living, his works with meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthy, sensual, devilish." That one stopped me. Wait a minute. You're telling me because of how I think in my comparisons, and I think I'm higher than somebody else, it's devilish. That's what it says. For where envy and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. Sorry, I'm behind here. We compare and we find that we envy, we strive, and it destroys relationships. One of the things God's been working in my own personal life is in this area. And one of the things I forget so many times is that it's a spiritual battle. But I fight it like an earthly battle. Yesterday we stopped at a garage sale. We met a young couple that we'd never met before. Had no idea they were believers. And we started talking. We had church. It wasn't Sunday. It was a good thing. We left very encouraged. But we began talking with them, and he started to tell us how there was a man that came in to buy something at the garage sale. He said, four times he chewed me down. He said, until I was angry. He said, I turned around and I headed for the house and I told my dad, Dad, you go out there and deal with him. I'm done. He said, I went in and I cried. But he said, I began to pray and I began to seek God in the Word. He said, I spent an hour in the house seeking God through reading and through prayer until I overcame. You know what I would have done? I'm just going to be blunt and honest. I would have probably talked about the dude for a while. I would have probably carried it with me for a while until it stirred enough to where I would have, well, I'm not sure what would have happened. He went in and he got on his knees and he prayed and he sought God. I say he got on his knees, I don't know if he was on his knees, but he sought God through prayer and through reading of the Word until he found victory. How many times do I do that when there's an issue in my life? I realize it's a spiritual battle, not an earthly battle. And that's the way I fight it. I bring it to God and He says, I'll give you rest. Bring me your struggles. I'll take care of them. When comparison takes place in our lives, contentment leaves. Gratefulness leaves. This one's huge. When I'm comparing, when you're comparing, start looking at what's going on. Contentment, thankfulness is leaving. Because we want to look good. And sometimes, when I try to look good, I become unthankful. Take a step with me for a minute into social media. We all know what social media is. Maybe your platform's Instagram, maybe it's Facebook, I don't know what you use. But let's imagine just for a minute it's Instagram. And as I go on Instagram, I have some people that I follow. And we like to see what their life is like. My wife has a few that she follows. I'm sure some of you do too. But as you begin following those people, you start looking into their lives, all of a sudden you realize, look at their house. It's not as nice as mine. Look at their kids. They're always well behaved. There's always something good happening in the family. One kid's loving another. Always something good happening. Look at their car. They just bought a new car. Beautiful car. Maybe it's even a shiny SUV. My van's rusty. Look at their raised flower beds or garden. There's not a weed in it. It looks almost like Joanna Gaines' flower bed. Look at how they connect with their church. Man, I wish I would. I compare. Look at this woman's husband. He can do just about anything. They had a broken door on the house and he fixed it. Their car broke down. He went out and he fixed that. My husband doesn't even know how to run a screw gun. look at how his wife keeps house. When I see pictures on Instagram, there's not a speck of dust. And everything's in its place. Look at how she cooks for the family. And their vacation, they went to Cancun. And they stayed in a condo that was unreal. We go to Sturgis. And all of a sudden, I'm just a bit envious because I've compared. Jealousy's coming inside. My husband comes home from work. Talking about my wife here. My husband comes home from work. I'm just not sure if we want to meet him at the door. My wife comes home from grocery shopping. I'm going to complain about all she bought because we didn't need that box of chips, that bag of chips. We could have saved money. And I begin to compare. We have a hard enough time paying our light bill. I begin to compare. See, we look at those people on Instagram, on Facebook. And we realize all of a sudden, if we really think clear, none of them come as a complete package. I don't. You don't. Because if I were to come look into your lives and you exposed everything here this morning, if Jesus looked into your lives, not me, looked at into your lives and you exposed, he exposed everything here this morning, you would find out there are some things in your life that are missing, right? I know what mine are. You know what yours are. But as we compare, we can hide those things. As we look at these people on Instagram or Facebook, all of a sudden it looks like they're perfect and I just ain't got it. And the devil plants within us a lie that says you're worse off than anybody else. You just ain't got it. You don't have what it takes. No one has it as bad as I do. Sometimes Satan tries to convince us, if you just compare, you can prove that you're right. It's all good. No, that's another lie. It's not the answer. But when my goal is to lift my brother or my sister higher than myself, that's where we find satisfaction. In giving others the benefit of the doubt and blessing them. When I compare myself to others, I build walls. And the seed of discontent begins to grow. It's not a seed we want. But it grows. So let's go find out what are some of the answers that we have in overcoming comparisons. And I've just got four listed and there's different answers, different ways that we can overcome. My last message, I talked about fear. We're going to touch on some of the same things as ways of overcoming. First one we want to look at is to acknowledge that we have a weight or a sin. Something that I used last time was we will not be able to defeat what we cannot define. Be willing to define what's happening in your life. None of us here are perfect. We all have our issues. When we come before the throne and we tell God where we're at, He knows. But He wants to hear it from us. And that's the beautiful thing about it. As we come to the Father and we spill the beans to Him, we tell Him all about our life. Here's the struggle that I'm facing. He tells us, it's okay. I'm right here. Bring it to me. I'll forgive you. And I'll give you peace. And we use it as a stepping stone to draw closer to Him instead of a stumbling block. If I hang on to it, it becomes a stumbling block. But we use it as a stepping stone. Thank God for making you as He did. God didn't make a mistake in making you. You're unique. None of us here this morning are the same. None of us. God has made you special. And if God made you, you're beautiful. We have a whole house full of beautiful people here this morning. God made us. And we bless Him for it. You're special in His creation. You're loved, personally loved by Him. One of my favorite verses. And I hope my wife remembers when I die, she puts this on as my favorite verse. She thinks she's going when I do. Isaiah 43:1, but now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel. Fear not. Don't have any worries or concerns. I have redeemed you. I bought you. I've called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. Take that to yourself this morning. He says, you're mine. Wonder what Satan thinks when he hears that. You're mine. Satan can't touch you because you're mine. The second one we want to think about is bless others who have different gifts than you do. That's hard. But we need to. Bless others who have a different gift than you do. Because we need all these gifts together to work together. The third one. Find your place of calling and bless God in it. Oh, I need to know my place of calling, huh? Every one of us here has a calling this morning. We have different callings. But God is calling each one of you to a special spot in life. And He wants you to live in that calling. How do I find my calling? Go to the Word. Get on your knees. Seek the Father. He has gifted you. Use those gifts and you will learn what your calling is. Use those gifts. Sometimes we add so many extras to our walk with Christ, and especially as youth. I want to say this to the youth. Some people will give you so many extras in life. Follow God. Get into the Word. There's a word in Psalm that says meditate. That word meditate means ruminate. Who can tell me what ruminate means? Chew your cud. That sounds kind of disgusting. But think about when you have the Word of Christ in within you, you want to meditate on it throughout the day, you're going to ruminate. You're going to chew your cud. That means you're going to bring it back up and chew it some more. How can I ruminate if it's not within me? I have nothing to bring back up to chew on. So what we need to do is get into the Word and memorize. I'm 56 years old. I found out I can still memorize. And I have taken a specific verse in the last 3-4 weeks that I memorized, and I have ruminated over that verse so many times. I have chewed the cud. And it seems every time I get into that verse and I continue to think about it, just new things pop out. Things that are so good. I'm sorry, time's flying here. Meditate. Stay focused on Christ. And the last one, find 10 things. This is just a common thing that we can do every morning. Find 10 things to be thankful for every morning. When you get up, maybe it's on your way to work. Maybe it's as you're fixing breakfast. Maybe it's you're getting the kids up. Maybe it's in your quiet time. Find 10 things. Try this for a week. Find 10 things every morning to be thankful for. Write them down if you can. And as you find those 10 things to be thankful for, start watching how God resets your focus. If you think on good things, things to be thankful for, things start happening in your life that haven't happened before. Run your race. Run with everything you've got. I know it's hard. There's some times where we come against a wall and we don't know what direction to go. And it seems, dads, you go to work, you come home, you eat, you fix something. It's about all you get done. Moms, it seems you get up, you fix food, you change diapers, and you take care of everything in the house. Thank God for the poopy diapers. You've got kids. Bless Him in that. And for the rest of us, we're all called to serve. Let's serve with joy. But let's not compare. But let's seek what God has in our lives for us. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, will provide all that we need to live a life full of grace and love. Seek Him. Make him priority. And let's lay aside comparisons. And instead of comparing, let's begin blessing. Blessing those around us. And living with thanksgiving. God bless you this morning. Would you stand? Okay, we remember the church in Detroit as they have Bible school this week. Let's pray. God, this morning, you know our hearts here. You know where we're at. You know where we're at with comparing. You know where we're at with living with thanksgiving. Father, I pray that each one of us would look deep into our hearts and allow you to search us too, Lord, to see where we're at. Lord, I know I've come short and I failed, and I thank you for forgiveness. Help us to have the humility to be able to fall before you and to admit our faults, to admit our sin, to admit the weights that hamper us. Lord, we want to run this race with everything we've got. But there are those things, Lord, that hold us back. So this week, I pray that we would come before your throne and we would allow you to show us what those things are and that we would repent and continue running. Thank you for the prize that waits at the end. Thank you for the example you gave us of running and being able to get to the end. You're the beginning, you're the end, and we bless you for that. Dismiss us with your blessing. We commit ourselves to you. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.